This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers education and training for referees of all levels. You can listen to our weekly podcast every Friday from 5pm by subscribing to the website refereesworld.co.uk. Your provider of podcasts will also deliver the goods every week, and we now have a YouTube channel, the Referee's World podcast, which we would ask you to subscribe to. My name is Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA, and this is my mentor, PGMOL Observer and South West Pool Observer Coordinator, Richard Mellon.
Mr. Cullum, good afternoon.
How the devil?
Wow, you know, I'm fine.
You're chilling, innit?
Innit, yeah. I've got a nice cold glass of orange squash, yeah.
Well, I've got a nice cold glass of Henry Weston cider because I've been for a nice run this afternoon, so I deserve it.
Oh, some of us are doing more important work.
Oh!
It's so be it, oh, so be it.
Oh,
you know?
Listen to you. Get the claws away. Right, OK, let's crack on. We've got 20 minutes now to discuss what we're going to discuss. And we thought what we would do, because when we last saw each other, I was just building up to go to a final, a referee a final. We won't mention the teams in this game, but I think it's fair to say, Rich, because you were there in attendance, it was a fairly hefty, challenging final with lots of things to discuss. So we thought we would do a debrief.
Yeah, it was a challenging game. Started off fairly low profile, low temperature, playing football, but it then picked up a little bit. And so consequently, you were under challenge from around about the 15th, 16th minute, if I remember correctly.
I think it's fair to say as well, two teams that are very good at football, but two very different styles of football.
Yes, most definitely. One wanted to keep the ball down, weren't afraid to play the long ball when they thought it was necessary, but they made the pitch big, played it out of defence through midfield, whereas the opposition, the away team, were a little bit more direct, and at times I thought they were quite robust in their approach.
Physical.
Yeah, OK, physical. I can't spell that. I don't know where the H and the Y goes, so I just said robust.
Good, I like that. Okay, so, yeah, it was a challenging game. And just to give you a little bit of a summary, the home side, if you can call it that, in a final, went 3-0 up by half-time. And then in the second half, the away team pulled three back. So we did go to penalties. So just by that sort of description, you can sort of get a feel of what the game was all about.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a full-on game. And challenging for referee level 5. And there's no doubt about that. There would be other referees around the area that probably would like that type of game. And I just say to the guys, wherever you may be listening, are you ready for that type of game? It's all about mental approach, mental strength, and everything else that comes with the mobility on the match day as well.
So let's go straight into the game, Rich.
Okay, well, I was going to say, give me a 20-word summary of what you did pre-match.
So basically, I had my little cue card, which I hadn't used, admittedly, for a good few seasons. So it was nice to get that bad boy out again. And yep. I went through the basic routine. I explained to them what I wanted from them. Stuff like the basics, ins and outs, the corners, the offsides, and I kind of gave my usual spiel for that one, which we have talked about in recent episodes of the podcast. Obviously, with the final, there was the opportunity that there may well be some more heated involvement. So, indeed, we had that. So I asked them to get involved accordingly where and when they needed to. And I also asked them particularly as well, and this came very useful to me, if I restart play out of law, or I've given a decision which they have had a better angle at, please do not be afraid to stick your flag up and tell me, and I will change my decision. And I'm not scared to do that. And in the first 5 minutes, I did it with a corner and a goal kick situation.
Okay. Never easy given a pre-match instruction, because where you're operating at the moment with grassroots assistant referees, they don't run the line very often. Unless, of course, they're in Supply League football. And as far as I know, the two assistants that you had on that day, on the Saturday, are not on the Tool Station League. So their background as regards how often do they run the line, I would have said that was probably the first, maybe the second time in the season. Is that a fair observation? Or
I think it probably is, actually.
Yeah, so what you ask an assistant referee, it's quite important that they understand it and they don't overstep the mark. And whilst you say, I was willing to change my decision if they think I'm wrong, it's if you agree with them that you think you were wrong.
Right, okay.
So it's that little thing there whereby you're the team leader, you call the shots, the buck stops with you. So if you give a goal kick and the assistant says, no, call you over, it's a corner kick, and then they take the corner kick and they score from the corner kick,
yeah,
who gets the blame for that?
That's right. Now, however, I can... I don't mind admitting this. At the time, I was unsure. I've got to be honest. I was unsure, so I gave it to a defending... gave it to the defending team.
I never use the word unsure as a referee.
No, okay. Let's
either I know or I don't know.
I didn't know, and so I gave it to the defending team.
Fair enough.
I was wrong on that one, and I don't mind admitting it. So
you're being too nice. You're being too nice.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. What did you say about free kicks and fouls, infringements, that sort of thing?
Free kicks and fouls. I said to them in their area of credibility, if they want to give them, please give them. But obviously, for the first 10, 15 minutes of the game, just watch what I'm doing first so you can see and understand the level that I am giving them at.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you've got a semi-active assistant referee on halfway and he sees players pushing and shoving on the back post as the ball's in flight, coming in from across, and he knows there's an infringement, definitely, but you don't give the infringement, but allow a goal or give a penalty or give a free kick, et cetera, et cetera. Would you take any information or would you give an instruction for the semi-active assistant referee on halfway?
And funny you should say that, because we had a little situation like that as well. you were watching. Brilliant. Excellent.
That's what you asked me to come down.
No, absolutely.
I watched. So let's cover all the bits and pieces, because we've covered pre-match instructions in other podcasts.
Yeah.
And clearly, there are bits of pre-match instruction that sometimes we don't use for half a dozen games, but all of a sudden they become important for your match control and your outcome as regards what decision you're going to make and what sanction you might have to use. So it's never easy. No two games are the same. Whilst you might have the same approach every game, there's no two games, once you're out there and you blow that first whistle, there's no two games that come out exactly as you expected.
Great, excellent. Okay, yeah. Next point then.
Let's get into the game.
Yeah.
Let's get into the game. Let's get to the talking point, and that was a dismissal.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the other sanctions. We'll talk about the mood of the game, the temperature of the game as we get there. But let's talk about the dismissal. Describe it in your view, and I'll see what I can add to it.
Okay, so from memory, we were about 10 minutes in. The home team, we'll call them the home team, they were on the attack, and there was a challenge just outside of the 18-yard box, just in front of the arc. And it was a little uncomfortable challenge, admittedly. I blew for the free kick. There was a little bit of disgruntled discussion going on between the two teams. And the attacker, he rose to the occasion because he was het up, he was wound up, he was ready for it. And he'd already scored. He'd already scored a great goal in the first sort of 5 minutes or so.
Yes, he did, yeah.
And he got himself a little bit too passionate with the challenge, and then he ran towards the bloke that had offended him, and he ran over, two hands, pushed him in the chest and knocked the bloke flying off his feet. So Now this took place with me. It was kind of on my blind side. I kind of saw what was going on, but I wasn't fully... It wasn't okay. There right in front of me. So
let's stop there.
Yeah.
What distracted you from someone that was going around, you know, at pace? What distracted you from not seeing it fully?
I think my positioning.
It was just about body. Whilst you say position, if you had changed your body shape and turned, say, 5 degrees round to your
absolutely.
Right or to your left, you wouldn't have had to have moved very far. You would have seen it.
I would have.
Your body shape, let's think about that one, rather than your position. Your position, I thought, within proximity of the play, it was fine.
Yeah.
But it was just out the corner of your peripheral.
Yeah.
Just out the corner. And so consequently, it's your body shape that you just need to change. Just tweak a couple of degrees around and everything opens up again.
Yeah, and for that reason, I chose to go over to my assistant who was on the dugout side, and he was the senior assistant on this particular occasion. And you know what? That actually helped me. And I'll tell you why it helped me, because I knew that I've got 5 to 10 seconds to walk over there. I knew in my head what I was going to do, but I just wanted that extra reassurance and backup from somebody else. So I walked over. It gave me that little bit of thinking time. And I said to the assistant referee, can you tell me what you saw? Because I just want to make sure that it marries up with what I saw and what I'm going to give. He explained exactly what happened. And I said, what would you be giving here? And he said, it's a definite red card. And I said, brilliant. That's exactly what I thought. Decision made. So I calmly walked back over and showed the red card.
You walked across to your assistant referee and purposely you walked across there. And using that 10, 15 seconds, whatever it might take to walk across to an assistant referee, does give you an opportunity to gather your thoughts and replay what you've seen or what you think you've seen and what question you're going to ask your colleague. The only thing I would ask you to think about the next time you have that situation, would you still walk to your colleague facing him as you walk with your back to the majority of players?
I knew that was coming. And what I was going to step in and say here was this. Where I went wrong on that particular moment was, like you said, I walked towards my colleague with my back to what was going on that was already heated. Okay. And that could have potentially flared up. Luckily, it didn't, but it could have done.
Yeah. Yeah, like I say, there's no two incidents like that happen exactly the same as what happened on that day. Because if others want to get involved, they might travel a distance to get involved. They might have already had history in the league game earlier in the season. And someone thinks, well, hang on a minute, I owe you one. You're going to have this, have a little bit of action, like, you know. So all I'd say to you is be careful how you go across to talk to the assistant referee. And when you're standing there talking to the assistant referee, turn your back to the touchline with him beside you and discuss between you with your vision, your visuals fixed on the players.
Am I in a position to be able to walk, let's say, halfway to where I was going and then ask the assistant to come onto the field of play, or do I need to be over by the line by that?
I would go closer than halfway on this distance, because it was on the other side of the D on your left diagonal and you walked about 40 yards. So got no problem with inviting the assistant referee on, but don't invite him on too far, because that conversation that you two have is confidential, really, because if he didn't come in with the information that you wanted as regards a rubber stamp on what you think you saw and doesn't give you the information, that opens it up to a different interpretation if the players hear it.
Yeah.
So consequently, invite him on a few yards, 5, 6, maybe 7 or 8 yards, and have your conversation facing the players, and then have your conversation to decide what's going to happen and what went on.
Great. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah, let's talk about a couple of other sanctions. You used the sin bin a few times.
Yeah, I used it three times, was it? Three or four?
Yeah, talk me through the sin bin approach and how you got to decide that it was going to be a sin bin. Let's go through a scenario involving one of the players.
Okay, so one of the players, and off the top of my head, I am talking about the first sin bin. I think he was the right back for the away team.
Number two.
That was it. He was... he's the guy that took the corner and scored from the corner.
Yes, he was. 3-1, wasn't it?
Yeah. That made it
3-1.
That was great. That was a great goal. So he was a bit lippy at times, and I'd ignored a couple of things that he'd said. And I went to have a chat with him about something. I think it was to do with a bit of heavy-handedness, and he just responded dissentfully. And by that time, my patience level had lowered slightly. And he had come on and he was gobbing off. So I just thought, right, okay, I now need to just tighten things up a bit here. So that's when I showed him the sin bin. And
okay, let me start there, because that's a good place where you said, and I shown in the sin bin. You use the description of I ignored him a couple of times. I think as referees, when we start ignoring players' comments, whatever the comment is, there's something going to escalate from that.
Yeah.
And that's what we got to. Because what I would look for as regards a player who ends up in the sin bin or even gets a card for dissent in other games of football, other formats, then what's our management skills? What are we doing to help our management skills and sell the decision? Selling the decision is the key thing. Everybody knows what you did as regards he went to the sin bin. But were you seen to have a public word with him? Did you use the captain? Could you use the captain? You don't have to, I know that. But it's all the setting up stuff that helps our match control and convince people we know what we're doing, rather than pull the white rabbit out the hat and all of a sudden, oh, what's happened? Oh, he sent him off. No, he hasn't sent him off. He put him in the sin bin.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's all about the perception of managing the game. And to ignore him, as you described, I wouldn't encourage it. Because I would say to him, to the player, look, I don't know what you normally say on a Saturday afternoon, but you're not going to get away with saying that again. If you say anything else, I will use a sanction. Do you understand?
Yeah.
You know, and you set things up, and you're seen to set things up. Don't make it a one-to-one whisper. You know, I'm not saying stand 20 yards away and shout at him. I'm talking about a public one-to-one, where everybody can see that you're talking to the number two. Everybody knows that if he's not going to listen, then they know what to expect further down the line.
There's two decisions here that I made in the game that you've just described, one of which was another sin bin. You may recall the home team number 11. He was involved in a challenge which didn't result in anything, but he was very verbal about me, but the play was continuing. So I turned round at the time of play and said, number 11, I'm coming back to see you. And then was about 3 or 4 minutes of play. When it went out of play, I then went back to him and gave him the sin bin because I was conscious of that. And there was also, I think it was probably the first yellow card for the away team, the big stocky guy with the short hair, who's a brilliant player, and I know exactly what he's like, having seen him play before. When he gets a little bit frustrated, he starts to calm down. And you might recall I called the captain over when I had a chat with him first of all.
Yes,
you
did.
So I did the setup there, and I wanted the captain to know what I was doing. So when I had to book him to calm down later in the game, it was expected, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, they knew what was coming.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And he completely changed.
Yeah, the method that you used as regards play went on for a while and you went through a few more phases before you got back to him. The way in which you set that up, I learned that when I was running the line to a Premier League referee at the time, Ron Groves, and he displayed that tactic or that skill set to me, not purposely to me, but it was within the game where I was running the line to him, and we was in the Somerset Premier Cup. And Ron had literally been to, I think it was Portsmouth and Man United, and this was in the 90s when they were playing, and I saw that as an example of best practice, and I thought I will always use that if I could, and you've used that as well now. So you know, it is worthwhile setting it up, using it and making it known, because you're on the move and people will have heard you said, I'll be back to you, number 11. And that's how it happened. Perfect. Well done.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a challenging game, but I really enjoyed it, and I appreciate you being there, and I appreciate the little voice text message you sent me halfway through the game, which I was never going to hear anyway, and I didn't hear it until the Sunday morning. I thought, oh, bless Rich. And
I was just checking that you didn't have your mobile on.
No, I didn't, but excellent, answered, okay.
I was hoping that you might have had there, and you say, oh, thanks for the message at half-time. I thought, you shouldn't be using your phone at half-time.
Brilliant.
So be it.
No, there we go. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for that, and thank you very much for turning up at the game. It was good to see you there, because it was, like I say, it was a challenge, and it was just nice knowing every now and again I would turn across to you and you would give me a thumbs up or a little clap, just to And in a situation like that, you kind of need that. It doesn't matter how experienced you are as a referee, you still need that little bit of a boost, don't you?
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree, Dar. And you know, I was able to have that sort of support on occasions when my colleagues came out. Okay, my career is now over because you know, the body won't let me run very far now without having a breather. So you know, just being able to go out there and help you guys, and I hope other lads similar to myself are going out there helping the guys in their area.
The download is complete.
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.